Hey, everybody. Hope you're having an amazing day. Welcome back to our leadership series, our whole life leadership series, that is to awaken you to unleash your impact, enable your inclusionary behavior, and thrive in your whole life well-being, and to also create cultures for whole life success. I am Claudia Chan. I am the creator of She Summit, which stands for Advancing She, He, and Equity. We are a coaching and community program and conference for women, women of color, allies. And I am also the author of the book, This Is How We Rise, which is over here. And have this episode will go on our How We Rise leadership podcast as well. So today our topic is going to be about neurodiversity. And I first learned about this topic through meeting one of our champions, our corporate champions, Christine Ramsey, who leads diversity and inclusion at Jazz Pharmaceuticals. And I want to invite Christine to join me in a second. There she is. Hey, Christine.
Hi, Claudia. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for sharing the space for the next 30 or so minutes with us. And yeah, I was just sharing with everyone that, and who's going to be watching this episode, that, you know, this is such a new term. And I was fascinated by it when you and I first met, I want to say like 2 years ago or a few years ago. And that, you know, it really is a dimension of diversity related to mental health and how our brain works that we really need to drive awareness around. So thank you so much for the work you're doing and just teaching us today about this topic. So let's start with, you know, why don't you just introduce yourself and, you know, your role at Jazz and how you came about this work.
Yes. Well, again, thank you for the opportunity to open dialogue for such a deep passion of mine. So hi, everyone. Again, Christine Ramsey, as Claudia mentioned, I lead diversity, equity, inclusion for Jazz Pharmaceuticals, as well as I'm a new founder of a business called Ignite Inclusion, really centered around focusing on bringing awareness, acceptance, and allyship to neurodiversity, as well as the bridge to mental health and really focus on well-being. So my life purpose is to create a sense of belonging for people, right? When we can have a unity among differences, really be able to see the person, hear, value, and celebrate. That's how humanity thrives. And so it's a deep passion of mine. I've met a lot of my family members are neurodivergent individuals, and my son is autistic, so he's a neurodivergent individual as well. And it's really become my my purpose to be the voice of educating organizations around, especially being in this DEI work, how do we embrace this incredible talent, not only from an awareness standpoint, but from an accepting standpoint, and how do we all become allies to individuals that have this amazing difference. So I'm excited to kind of talk through it with you today, Claudia, and answer questions and just have people know that I'm a resource for any questions that come their way.
And I just, you know, what just really stood out to me is I'm always preaching that we forget, you know, we get caught up in, okay, the social issues of what diversity and inclusion means, you know, whether it's race or, you know, all the racial injustice that's been happening or a gender thing, and you forget about the other dimensions of diversity. But yet it really starts with, you know, yes, there's a lot of social issues out there that we need to be champions of, but it really starts with your own behavior, right? It how do you show up? How do we all this work, DE&I, it really starts with us as individuals and how we are, how can we get more conscious about how we show up? Not only to honor ourselves and our own diversity and our own, you know, mental health and everything that we are going through, but how we can, you know, again, seek to learn and understand about all these dimensions, about all these topics and issues so that we can be conscious to create a space of belonging for, again, for everybody. And that allyship, which is a verb, you know, how can we practice allyship or learn to practice allyship more? So just wanted to, you know, like what you just said, inspired me to just root everybody back into the context of this. All these conversations just are about each and every one of us learning and doing the work, and so that we can understand all this stuff more, because it's complicated stuff, right?
Exactly. And like, if I could add on to that too, Claudia, right? It's like I love the word, the intersectionality, right? It's you know, having neurodiversity, and we'll talk deeper about what that is and all that, but it could be a layer to someone's dimension. And so how does that lived experience, what does that look like and feel like? So just embracing that there's just intersections of people of how they, they've been shaped today. And so honoring that too.
So how do you define neurodiversity?
Yeah, so neurodiversity actually is it was a coined term by an amazing woman. Her name is Judy Singer, and she coined the term back in the 1990s. So it's been around for quite some time, and she is an amazing author, speaker. She is an individual that came up with the term, saying that we have to go beyond what we think these deficiencies of the brain are. So whether you're you have autism, OCD, you know, ADHD, or dyslexia, any type of kind of neurological difference, mm-hmm. right, was coined under this term of neurodiversity. And she coined it as, we need to move away from what the myth is of what a normal brain is, right? Mm-hmm. Not deficiency, they are strengths, they are unique gifts that we need to embrace. And, you know, this is an outlier thinking, and how do we embrace that and almost kind of look at the strengths of the individual brings to that neurological difference. So she came up with the term, and still it's been 20 years, right? 20, 30 years. And we're still trying to, mobilize on how do we create a space in the workplace, right? Like 1 in 8 people around the world, 1 in 8 have a neurological difference. So that is a lot. That's like millions and millions of people that have this difference. And when you look at even for my son, he's autistic, 85% of autistic people are unemployed today. And that's not okay with me. You know, having a 7-year-old, how are we creating a pathway, right, for individuals that have these, again, amazing gifts, and what I like to call them superpowers. I think they're superpowers. So it really, stems from education, awareness, learning. That's where it starts. And then moving right to acceptance, and really going away from the limiting beliefs of deficiency to superpowers is kind of how I describe it.
I love it. And you have a really powerful story on why you call it a superpower, which is just made me cry when I read it, which I wanted you to share it with us in a second. But we're talking earlier about the power of words and the power of language, and the fact that the person Judy that created the term and the reframe around it being something positive, and the word disability versus ability. Right? Like everybody has different abilities, and the disability or the, like a deficiency versus a superpower, or the disability versus ability. And it's incredible how that can just transform things. And so I just wanted to really reiterate, the words we choose have a lot of power, and the language we use. So to be really, again, conscious about showing up and what comes out of our mouth and how we can, the power we have to influence through our words. So tell us about the story of superpowers.
So I love it, because it is the power of words. I start my day teaching my children positive affirmations, right? And so kind of going back to the story around superpowers. So my grandmother, she was 55 years old when she immigrated to this country. So we're Armenians. She came from Iran. And when she came here, she had a lot of trials and tribulations, of course. But when we found out my son was autistic, they were best friends. My son was nonverbal at the age of 3. And they had this deep connection. I can't even describe. I mean, they just had a bond, an unspoken bond. And she would tell me, Christine, he is out of the ordinary and simply extraordinary. And he's exactly what this world needs. And that, to the T, she would say that. Mm-hmm. And she would say that to him. Even, he may not been thinking that he's not listening, or, he, again, wasn't able to communicate back through words, but certainly through you know, the ability
energy. To be extraordinary, you know, and that energy is so important. And yeah,
power. And really she became my driving force. Unfortunately, she passed away 2 years ago. She was again, my son's best friend. But she was how reminds me that it is the power of these words, these affirmations that even as a young child and all the way up to adults, we need to hear. So if you are a neurodivergent individual, you know, like, You have a superpower. You're out of the ordinary and simply extraordinary. You remember those affirmations. And even if you're a parent or a caregiver, I know that these are special, unique gifts that you know the person that you love has. And how do we reframe this bias that people have, where if something looks a little bit different or is again out of the ordinary, you're like, okay, that may not necessarily fit. How do we look at the strengths of that individual? I'll share with you one quick story if I can around this piece, because I remember my father, he was caring for my son at the time. He was 4 years old. He calls me at work and he says, "Christine, I've got good news and bad news." I'm going, uh-oh. Like, if dad's calling me, because again, he's my son's primary caretaker. Thankfully, mm-hmm. I have that support system. I said, "Okay, give me the bad news first." He's like, "Well, the bad news is that your son got into one of the locked rooms in the house and somehow found these Easter baskets full of grass and has exploded everywhere in the room. So you're going to have to come home when you pick him up and clean it up." Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay. That. And I was like, "What's the good news?" And he's like, "The good news is," he's like, "your son's a genius. How did you know what he did? He actually got a paperclip and unlocked the door." Paperclip. And my father was such a pure example in that moment, because there he is. He's like, "I can't believe your son's a genius. This is amazing. Christine, can you believe it? 4 year old along." And he just completely focused on the strength versus, right, the fact that he got room, or, you know. And so it's how do we reframe these amazing differences that these humans have, and create opportunities that showcase their strengths and really be able to embrace that. Because we can innovate better. Humanity can definitely thrive better once we're able to engage more of
these individuals. And like, I love that so much. And I got me thinking that, like, you know, Richard Branson, who is a mogul and one of the most famous entrepreneurs in our world and of our time, you know, he was dyslexic.
Yeah, dyslexic.
And I remember just, when you were, and so many people, who else was it? Like,
Michael Phelps and Simone Biles, who are phenomenal. They also have a neurological difference. I believe they have ADHD.
Right.
About that very openly, you know, on how the gift that they have, they actually use their strengths within the work that they do as Olympians. You know, they're, gosh, I don't know how many Olympic gold medals they both have, but
it's a gift. I mean, it's amazing that the extraordinary gifts that come out of this, and really we're all created differently, right? It's how humanity works. So you have to just quickly share the story that I was tearing up on, where your son was 3 years old. You took him to a birthday party, and some kids were saying, you know, "Zach's weird," or they said, "Zach is weird," you know, made fun of him. And then you left, and as you were coming home, you saw a butterfly, right? And what was it that you said to him that I just thought was so powerful?
No, thank you for bringing it up. It was my son's first birthday party he had been invited to, he, as a way of showing some excitement or sometimes even anxiety, he has he does stimming, and we all stim in various ways, whether it's like flickering a pen or tapping your he stims in a way that he scripts movie lines to Disney movies. So he'll say memorized from beginning to end every character with accents. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for a 4 or 5 year old, that is different, right? And so one of the boys at the party kept calling him a weirdo. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I kind of wish I said something, but I held back. And we were driving home and we saw this beautiful monarch butterfly. I mean, I still remember it to this day. It was so beautiful. And I looked at my son. I was like, you know, butterflies are really special because they have this iridescence. And so when you switch how you see the world, you can actually see a different color to how the iridescence shows up to the butterfly. And so, you know, you kind of like a butterfly, Zach, because, you know, you can see the world differently. Mm. And he had, you know, he was like 4 or 5 years old. He's like, I don't really get this, Mom. You know, so I was like, how could I describe in a way? And I kept going to my grandmother's words. I was like, you're kind of like a superhero. You know, you can see things and do things that nobody else can. And it's really awesome. And so, and he goes, really, Mom, I'm a superhero? I'm like, yes, because again, you're out of this world. Out of the ordinary, and you have these superpower strengths that we really want the world to see. And so I really
appreciate so beautiful
letting me share that story, because
we actually just had somebody just chat. I think her name was EM, I think, or that's her initials. She says her son stims by repeating colors. And thank you so much for sharing that. And EM, which is EM Smiley, which is the name that I see. Thank you for sharing that story. It is such a beautiful one. And, you know, and I think too, like, and I have friends, I mean, I feel like everybody is struggling with mental health in some capacity, especially coming out of, you know, the last year, which is, you know, the pandemic, and it's all still, it feels like it's sort of never ending. You know, 2021 feels like 2020 on steroids, I keep saying. And so much of it sometimes is when you actually, you know, whether or not you are not neurologically like diagnosed with something, or whether or not you just struggle with panic attacks or some depression or whatever it is that you have, the spectrum of mental health is, it's incredible how your thoughts or the way, you know, the way that your brain works, and as an individual, you almost term it to be true. You know, you almost, it's like what you believe about yourself. And one of my friends just found out that she definitely has, she's been diagnosed officially at like in her late 30s with ADHD. And it's almost just overwhelming to her now, because now she realizes for like decades of her life, you know, what she thought that she was weird. She thought that she wasn't good enough, like the self-criticism and the self-judgment that she put on herself. But meanwhile, she had this, you know, she was wired differently, right? And so just knowing that and having that information was so transformative. And just, you know, like your whole life, right? It reframes your perspective of your whole life. So let's talk about neurodiversity in the workplace and as a dimension of diversity, and what is happening. It's such a new term. My assumption is most people have not, you know, do not know much about it. What are you seeing in the workplace and how we can practice embracing these neurodivergent differences? And also, cause like you said, 85% are not working, right? Who are diagnosed with this. And as well as, I think you said 1 to 8 people, 1 out of 8 people have it. So tell us more about what it means in the workplace.
Yeah. So thank you first of all, I want to acknowledge the importance of mental health and staying resilient. It has been, for us, it's been a very intense year. So I think that I love this community, especially Claudia. Like, I'm so grateful for She Summit and just being part of this amazing community, because it's been how I've been able to stay mentally resilient, is through this community of sharing and vulnerable and talking about topics and learning from each other's experiences. So I wanted to acknowledge that for a moment before the topic around the workplace. But certainly I think the neurodiversity topic, you know, it's, so there's some great organizations that have been fostering this really well. I mean, you've got SAP and Microsoft and some of these bigger players that have been really focused on a neurodivergent strategy of how do we bring and embrace talent that is different, right? Because like ultimately what we're trying to create, and from a DEI lens, right? If we want to innovate, if we want to have a high profitable business, like we want all types of diversity in the room, right? Like, again, my brain works very different than my son's, but I certainly want him as part of my table because he's going to bring so many different ideas to the table. Sharing a quick story there and how important this is. I remember we're at a dinner table upstairs, you know, in our kitchen, and we're going around, the four of us, my daughter, my husband, and my son, we're going around the room and we do a question game. And we go, my daughter asks, what is your top five favorite holidays? And she names off the top five. So she's like, Christmas, you know, we celebrate Christmas. And she's like, Easter, you know, she goes on and on. My husband repeats the same five, but in a different order. I do the same. I repeat the same five that she mentioned, but in a different order. Then my son, and he names all five new holidays. What does he say? His number one is Chinese New Year. And we're like, why do you love Chinese New Year? He's like, I just love the red colors of them, and the dragons are so cool. You know? And he's going, I love the Festival of Lights. Mm. And my daughter goes, what's that? I don't know, you know, and he's like, and he's talking about us about Diwali. And like, it was just, I mean, five new ideas came from that conversation. So imagine what organizations are missing if they don't have neurodivergent talent in the room, right? So that's first, right? Is getting them to that conversation, getting them through the doorway there. And then when they're there, it's like, how do we embrace this difference? And really creating, there's tons of programs. I mean, there's so many things we could talk about in another topic, but really building a psychological safety. So even those that are there that might not say that they have this difference, how are you creating a safe space to foster that, for that the person can openly share, you know, what their challenges are and what they need? Oftentimes, right, like, when people are there, they're not feeling comfortable, or because of the whole mental health stigma that's been out there, they don't even feel safe to share this dimension of difference. So what can we do as, you know, organizational leaders to create safe spaces and conversation, certainly like this, like,
yes,
you know, to foster that dialogue. Mm-hmm. And then obviously it is, how are we continuing to elevate their voices, you know, their ideas, really the inclusion and the belonging factor, right? So it goes along with the equity, you know, it's all steps, but.
You know what just stood out to me too in saying that is, and I'm so passionate about, you know, I think that's the next level of diversity, inclusion, innovation, culture innovation, which is really leaning in, doubling down on creating safe space. Because it's one thing, you know, right now, like, okay, lots of, you know, the leadership is like, yes, we need more diverse talent because, you know, there's research that shows that more diverse companies are more profitable and generate, you know, are more successful for obvious reasons. But you have to give that diversity permission to actually share their ideas, and not even just permission, but create space where they even feel courageous enough to, you know, I think that is even just, we have so much work to do on that front, so much work to do. And let, I mean, just for anyone, and let alone, you know, for then to create a special space for, you know, all of this, all of these differences, right?
Yeah. I love that so much, because the one thing, if I can leave with one thing here, is compassion, empathy. That's number one, because that's how you build connection. That's how you build trust. That's how you build safety with someone. It's just being able to listen and truly be empathetic to that person's situation. Mm-hmm. And it like starts there, you know? And I find that anyway, if I could leave something with the group, is how are we practicing compassion daily with ourselves, with others who are different than us, and that's how we can, again, learn and create these safe spaces. So even as, I mean, you talk about that and how we rise, like, yes. You have an amazing book, which your book was life-changing for me, which I tell you that all the time, of truly whole life leaders, right? Like, how do we have more heart-centered, compassionate servant leaders is what you talk through, right? Like, completely honor and practice, trying to practice daily myself. So kind of going back to like, what can we do is foster more of that into our day-to-day leadership practices with our people.
Definitely. And what I also love too is that, you know, so you are the inclusion and diversity director, manager, leader, I can't remember.
Little senior manager of inclusion.
You know, thank you. But you pretty much like are the person that has that the IND or DNI in your in the title at Jazz Pharmaceuticals, which is a global healthcare company. And I love that they're also, it's such a good culture there. And, you know, again, every company is on a different path, right? In a different timeline of the work. And but I love that they really embrace your passion for neurodiversity. And they, and I know you just finalized your book proposal and you're working on a book deal and you're blogging more on LinkedIn and writing more about this topic and sharing, you know, just driving the awareness around neurodiversity. But I love that, you know, Jazz really embraces it. And, you know, and it's, I mean, some people call it the side hustle. And I just feel that the future of the thriving workplace and the companies that are really going to succeed and again, hire, retain, advance the best diverse talent are those that truly learn how to create cultures for whole life well-being, whole life success, so that the highest personal passion and purpose of their employee can bring that work into the workplace, right? Like that you don't have to worry. Like if I really care about XYZ topic or issue, I can do something, you know, I'm a multidimensional person and I have all these passions, and that companies really embrace that, you know, like call it the second major, right? Your first major is, you know, your core full-time job, but your second major or your minor, or again, some people call it the side hustle, you know, the more companies can understand wholly who their employees are and how do you create a space where they can bring that passion and purpose into their organization to then innovate their organization. Those are truly going to be the market leaders. And when I do my trainings with and advisory work with executive leadership teams and CEOs, I'm always telling them, this is where the bold, if you want to win and be a leader, not a follower in the space, this is where you need to innovate.
Yeah, so I love it. Exactly. I just want to say ditto. Yeah, we need to practice more of that, right? How do we bring our whole selves to work? I am very grateful to Jazz Pharmaceuticals. They really let me embrace, you know, this part of me. Even though on our journey, we may not necessarily be there to fully bring on a whole program, but that's okay. It's like we are learning to have the conversations. We are where the journey is at. And so, you know, I find myself like, again, talking like this, bringing awareness, learning from so many people in this space. Let me tell you, like, there's phenomenal people I can name off that know way a lot more than me, but, you know, that we partner with, I listen to, I admire. And also is hearing from those who are neurodivergent themselves. And so, you know, again, if anyone on the call here, please share your story. Be vulnerable, you know, self-advocate for yourself and share your important voice, because we, you know, organizations need to hear it, and need to fully embrace, your different thoughts, you know?
Ian Smiley, who was just posted in the chat, she said that she's starting something called autistic awareness, a hashtag called autistic awareness, I believe, and it's going to be in the chat. And so she'll want to push this video out, and another great autism awareness, hashtag autism awareness and hashtag autism acceptance fundraiser for educating people. She's definitely somebody for you to connect with. Yeah. And yeah, I'm glad to see folks have engaged. I mean, obviously we come on live stream on LinkedIn and YouTube and other channels just to, you know, to share the message. And then of course it gets recorded, and you can catch up on these episodes at the How We Rise by Claudia Chan podcast, that you can listen to anywhere that plays, that where you listen to your podcasts. And so, Christine, thank you so much. How can people find out more, like for resources, or obviously they can connect with you on LinkedIn and DM you, Christine Ramsey, RAMSAY. Please share, how can folks learn more?
Yeah. So, I mean, there is a ton of great, articles, information. I mean, you go on Google, there's neurodiversity in the workplace. There's, of course, my own website, igniteinclusion.com, has resources there. I mean, there's, you can always connect with me. I can share, you know, all the places that you can go. But yeah, there's lots of information through, I mean, if you Google, there's tons of organizations that are doing this neurodiversity space. So, but certainly use me as a resource, as someone to connect with you, and the community. If we can just come together and embrace this difference, we can all be at a better place. That's for sure.
So definitely igniteinclusion.com.
Yes.
Perfect. And yeah, and I always say that it's not just one movement, DE&I, it's a macro movement. And there's thousands and thousands of issues and movements to tackle. And just as, you know, women in STEM or women of color or, you know, any, or like pay parity was barely a conversation, you know, whether it was like 10, 15, 8, 5 years ago, you know, but, you know, on a, you know, like from a popularity or, you know, how much we can mainstream a conversation, you know, whether it was 1 through 10, you know, those topics were at like a 1 or 2, you know, years ago. Right. And so right now, neurodiversity is really at the early stages of becoming mainstream. And there's no doubt in my mind that you and the army of women like E.M. Smiley and all of those others out there that are passionate about the neurological differences and diversity, that you guys will create this movement. So thank you for joining us, and I'll see you soon. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.